Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 498. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, good sir?
Oh, not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about you there?
I kind of mentioned that a job change is coming, and I'm not going to go into as much detail as we did beforehand. But, hey, good news is it really should not impact most of the stuff that I do in the evening hours, which is when I do the primary Stunt Granny stuff anyway. So there is that good news. Also, good news, SmackDown. I'm not always disappointed when there is a lot of talking, and there was definitely a fair share of talking tonight. And, there were a lot of real positives tonight in the talking department. And I don't know do you want to start at the beginning or at the end?
We could start. We'll start at the end.
Okay. Well, you know, it's one of those things with Kofi Kingston that it really does seem unrealistic of him to beat all of the gentlemen involved in this match, this gauntlet match that he has to survive. So it's really pretty weird to put him in that situation. Like, I want him to win it, but it's really kind of bizarre to have him beat out so many top tier guys. Like, beating out The Bar to me is something that, despite their great tag team work, they don't have the best track record when it comes to singles wrestling, especially since they become a tag team. So that part doesn't really surprise me, but having him beat Samoa Joe, and I'm trying to think of, well, even Rowan, honestly, depending upon what order they're...
You beat Rowan, of course. That's not even an issue.
No, but kind of in the scope of things, if he's kind of later in the order of the gauntlet match, it would seem a little unrealistic to overcome his size.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you're probably right.
But, you know, I guess Shahid kind of said it when I was saying, hey, you're going to get the Kofi match at WrestleMania, so why you bitching? Yeah, it just seems a little unrealistic for Kofi to win this, and not that I want him to get handed the shot, quote unquote, but you've kind of created this groundswell, and you're just kind of annoying people at this point. Like, there are times where the WWE, like, they don't really have that much time until WrestleMania.
No, they really don't. Yeah, and that's kind of the thing where I'm at, is just dragging out the announcement, the official announcement of the match another week. Yeah, I'm not really big on it. There are ways to do this, even including, you know, having the Fastlane pay-per-view in between that didn't drag it out so much, that didn't make him jump through so many hoops. Granted, they did do the gauntlet match last month where he did win three matches in a row out of five.
Right.
So it's not completely out of the realm, but yeah, they're putting it. And I'm not sure if he's going to beat everyone clean, which may be worse if, AJ Styles gets involved in the part of the match with Orton, then he got help to win. If someone gets disqualified along the way, like Samoa Joe, then he didn't, beat everybody, clean. I would have just you know, gotten the match, you know, signed tonight.
It's a little crazy. Because I did, I kind of forgot about Orton being in the match, but as soon as they had him come out, I'm like, oh, AJ Styles is going to help him win, was the first thing that came to mind. And it's, like you said, like, it doesn't really help Kofi if he needs help like that. Like, people are going to cheer it because, and honestly, speaking of AJ Styles and Randy Orton, to me, that was another one of those great talking segments of the evening. Getting back to Kofi, yeah, like, he shouldn't need that much help. Like, if he gets a one-on-one match with even Kevin, but I mean, it's just weird if you're still trying to present Kevin Owens as a babyface to have him face off against him, which, yeah. They did Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali zero favors, kind of putting them in the spot. I think you and I talked about it, and even Shahid and I talked about it. It's one thing for Charlotte to kind of get interjected in a match and then just heal it up the whole time. It's odd to get interjected in a match you don't deserve to be in and then have to be a babyface.
Yeah, that was a terrible such a terrible situation for it to put up Kevin Owens and then Mustafa Ali in. I mean, they ended up having a great match, but they had to work so hard to get the crowd into that finish with all the near falls and all the big spots and everything that they did. I mean, it's kudos to much to their credit, much respect. But then, but no, that first half of the match where people were booed, they were both being booed, and the crowd was chanting, "We want Kofi," maybe even more than the first half of the match.
Yeah,
finally got into the action. And there was so much action in that match, and then to go in tonight and have them lose and have Mustafa Ali take the pin again this time. Just, you know, just being beaten by Rowan, not even Daniel Bryan. Yeah, they did Owens and Mustafa Ali no favors. Mustafa Ali has not been established enough to take these kind of losses at all. I mean, he came in pretty, got a pretty good, you know, first, you know, month or so, getting that win over Daniel Bryan that never was really followed up on. Of course, he was very likely going to be followed up on heading into Elimination Chamber. That's, you know, for as good as this is for Kofi Kingston, it's equally as awful for Mustafa Ali, because this could have been him.
Oh.
Pretty much all of this.
Right.
I mean, maybe not, because the New Day has been a popular act for years. Kofi has been around for 11 years. There was a groundswell of support that began within the Gauntlet match that maybe Mustafa Ali wouldn't have gotten and wouldn't have carried him this far. So maybe not. It's not entirely true, but still, I mean,
yeah,
being taken out of the Elimination Chamber and losing 3 or 4 weeks of his career, definitely, in its infant stages, absolutely has hurt Mustafa Ali, and you know he can do all the flippy moves in the world, but he still took two pinfall losses.
In 2 days. Yeah, the move set helps, but you know, it's been a go-to example, and it's an easy to go-to example. When you're like Ricochet and Aleister Black, A, it has helped that they haven't been injured, because go ask Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa how that works. and B, winning is always a good thing. always, you know, even in the fake sport of professional wrestling, winning is always a good thing. Like, I and it's kind of funny how the WWE doesn't always seem to grasp this concept.
Yeah, no, they don't always. And I don't see a WrestleMania right now. I don't see a WrestleMania spot for Mustafa Ali and Kevin Owens unless the U.S. title match is a Samoa Joe ends up defending the U.S. title in a big multiple person match.
Oh,
which the potential number of multiple person matches at WrestleMania is something we'll probably get into later.
yeah, that was because I mean this is the stage.
We'll get into it now.
Oh no, I guess I was gonna say that, you know, in the past, you know, they always kind of established the, you know, the kind of main event matches right around the Royal Rumble. And then everything else kind of fleshes itself out around this time. And, it's definitely looking as though there are going to be a shit ton of multi-person matches.
Yeah, because I think they legitimately did not have a card. They might still not have an entire card fleshed out, actually. As far as, you know, especially as we go down the card into the, you know, the secondary championships. I'm not entirely convinced that they know exactly what they're going to do for a number of matches, or how many matches are they actually go through with a battle royal or two. How long is this damn show going to be?
Those are all very valid questions, I think, that can be asked. But yeah, I guess I didn't particularly want to get into the multi-person matches in particular. But yeah, I guess a little bit getting back to Mustafa and Kofi. And that kind of line of gentlemen, Well, I think we're pretty much done with Kofi, but Ali, the injury, and I don't know if they held him out because of the eye injury or if there was something else that happened to him, I guess, in the meantime that kept him out of action. And I there was a point that you made too, like Ali kind of had the fresh guy kind of thing going for him, but yeah, I think the groundswell for Kofi is something that would be hard to replicate, just because everyone did kind of acknowledge that it's kind of funny, I guess, with fans' memories. That some of us can legitimately remember Kofi Kingston kind of getting screwed out of being in the main event a long time ago. Or at least having a shot at it and then never really being given a legitimate shot at it after that. Because I felt like there are some times where he improved, you know, after the Randy Orton feud. But then he never really kind of got, like I said, a chance at the championship along the ways. Because it was just kind of funny where there's, I guess all the promos tonight, they definitely had some type of a touch of realism to them. But I always think that there's some stuff that gets left unsaid. Then in a lot of ways is probably good and helps it become a better argument amongst the participants, in this case Vince and Kofi. But you know, yeah, it would be hard for Kofi to go, oh, I should have had chances along the ways. And Vince's line about he should have done something more by now, I guess just off the top of my head, it made me think about DDP, who was someone that didn't really blossom until later in his career. And honestly, coming to speak of someone getting introduced into the Hall of Fame for the second time, you could really say that about Booker T, honestly. Because, I mean, he was just in a tag team for so long, you didn't think about him as a singles guy. But at some point, obviously, he became a singles guy and had a long run at it.
Right, yeah. You can throw, I guess there's a longtime tag team guy held secondary championships and then finally became the world champion, but that was still a much shorter period of time, you know, like between 7 years and to 11 years. Well, 11 years is a long time. And you know, once again, it wasn't going to happen. You know, I mean, just the fact that Kofi is even getting this at all is, you know, it was the ultimate thing that was never planned.
Yeah, you could definitely see the Daniel Bryan, though the Daniel Bryan stuff was unplanned a few years back, you could definitely see it coming. Kofi got this going because of Mustafa Ali's injury, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah. But you know what? But from the Gauntlet match on, from through the Elimination Chamber, it was pretty obvious that, you know, Kofi, you know, they really didn't have anything else, you know, better, you know, lined up for Daniel Bryan for WrestleMania. So it is the right call to go with Kofi. It's just how they're getting there. First giving him the fast lane match, then taking him out of it, and then placing him with Kevin Owens. We've gone over that. The swerve at where I think this is. Took a turn for the worse is the swerve at Fastlane. Leading to the handicap match where he just got destroyed while the live crowd chanted boring. This is boring. And the triple threat match which while an entertaining match by the end of it, in the end has probably hurt Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali, and there was a way to do all this without really hurting anybody or dragging this out, or just dragging this out and kind of exhausting the audience.
I agree. There is definitely a better way to. Because, I mean, because of the length of time, there is going to be some type of lengthening if you wanted to make it a WrestleMania match. But, the execution thereof was definitely not the right call. So, and I guess we can move back to something that I brought up. I really enjoy the Randy Orton AJ Styles promo. Just because, you know, there were a whole lot of valid points brought up on each guy's end in their argument. And that always adds to the. It adds a nice layer to any feud. And. You know, it's one of those things that Randy Orton's had so many matches with so many people, and him having a big-time match with AJ Styles is one of those ones where it's just like, man, this one feels legitimately fresh. Like, they haven't worn it out somehow, which is almost shocking, honestly, since AJ Styles has been on SmackDown for, what, 2 or 3 years now?
Yeah. It'll be 3 years this summer that AJ Styles has been the centerpiece of kind of the what's the word I'm looking for? The standard bearer of SmackDown since the new
the new brand split.
The new brand split. He's calling it the house that AJ Styles built, and he's been pretty much the top guy on SmackDown consistently, since then. And they've weaved that story. Last few weeks, they've weaved the story pretty well, doing, little things here, little things there about, Randy Orton, just being completely annoyed by that because he's been wrestling on SmackDown since,
since the first time.
The 2000s. Split. For 15 years, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, Orton has definitely been one of, a handful of guys that I would definitely call a SmackDown guy. So, I mean, again, like, Orton definitely, AJ Styles wasn't the only one making good points. Randy Orton was definitely making some good points along the way. Himself, and considering that Randy Orton usually doesn't get paid by the 15-minute promo, it was kind of funny that he stumbled around his words a little bit, but I just did legitimately account that to him not having done a promo that long, and I don't even know how long, to be honest with you.
I don't think Orton has had he's done a lot of short promo work, a lot of promo work at AO backstage, with the microphone in front of his face. That was pretty much that was my highlight of SmackDown. I thought that was really, really good. They said they both made their points. They both took their digs. They both made the crowd ooh and ah. Their dislike for each other is palpable. You believe that it's very easy to believe that Randy Orton has no respect for the path that AJ Styles took to get to WWE when Randy Orton was, handed everything from the get-go. And there's probably, more they could both say to each other heading into WrestleMania. I liked it a lot. It was my favorite thing on the show. It does feel like, as you said, feels like a fresh matchup. I believe they only did it once on an episode of SmackDown 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. If I vaguely remember, it was pretty good then. This, a full-length WrestleMania match, although with how many matches are going to be on this damn WrestleMania card, maybe it won't be that even all that much longer than your typical SmackDown main event, but... on that stage, I'm sure they will both rise to the occasion. It's a good match to have at WrestleMania, and they're doing a good job telling a story.
They've started to establish this story, a couple of weeks ago, and I really dig it. I'm down for it. It should be a really good match, and it's one of those few ones that it won't have a title implication, or at least it doesn't seem like it will. But it's definitely a draw for me. And I'm trying to think. It's definitely spanning both brands. But Becky Lynch and Charlotte are, even Ronda Rousey, they are all putting in some good work on the microphone. Because it is certainly that matchup needs to stay fresh. And, too much in-ring interaction would definitely hurt things in that regard. And the fact that they all kind of keep on moving that storyline along without having to do too much, really, is pretty interesting.
Yeah. They don't really need to do much at this point. They've done quite a bit. This has been brewing since November. can make all the arguments you want that it should have been just been Becky versus Ronda one-on-one, but, you know, that's not happening. It is time to move on from that, and no, they're doing a good job with the triple threat. They do need to keep it, as you said, they need to keep it fresh, and I think the bare minimum of physicality is the right play heading into WrestleMania, especially considering the fact that Becky Lynch selling injuries has just gotten, you know, borderline cartoonish these last few weeks. She needs to be able to come to WrestleMania not selling anything. And just have a great match that, you know, we know that these three women can have against each other in the main event of WrestleMania.
That was a good start to things, to have her throw away the crutch this week. But, you know, it's kind of, in a lot of ways, it's hard to blame her. She's probably selling something that was not nearly as, well, either A, never really an injury, or B, something that was not as severe as they were making it seem. And it's just got to be a little tough to keep on selling that week after week after week, but then still kind of have a level of physicality in a lot of segments, you know. Even if she was just beating someone with a crutch or being beaten with a crutch, like, she was still doing something. So, yeah. It will be hard for them to do anything new, I think, moving forward, just because, like you said, they've explored the room about as far as they can explore the room.
We've got three more episodes of Raw and SmackDown. You can do a lot of promos. You know, Ronda can, well, now that she's a heel, she can kind of tear her way through the babyface side of the women's locker room a little bit. Although, I mean, there's not as as much tear her way through. With Charlotte and Becky, they can keep, sniping at each other. Yeah, although, I don't know, I kind of got the feeling tonight that they came to, like, Charlotte and Becky, because they've been cutting promos on each other since SummerSlam, basically. they're running out of things to say just to each other.
You're not wrong, and that's why I'm laughing. I mean, it basically has been since SummerSlam. Like, there's been some breaks in between, but not too many.
Right. Yeah. So there's, you know, you could do a little more of a sports build. You could show them training, sit down interviews, you know, do things like that. You know, you can don't have to have them, almost any of them wrestling on TV every week. Once again, there's only 3 weeks. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. And they really don't probably need to all be in the same place again. Especially since we do have the Raw SmackDown barrier. They don't have, you know, Charlotte and Becky don't have to show up on Raw again until maybe even, you know, the last week. You know,
right.
Then they can have one last
hurrah,
face to face segment that maybe gets a little physical. Although Monday is in Chicago, which is a big market. Maybe they'll have them have at least Becky show up on Raw, but we'll see about that. But yeah, I mean, but it does need to be kept simple for the next few weeks. They made the decision to go with the triple threat, and then they decided to do some, let's just say, some high concept,
The hijinks
for the audience,
the hijinks for this is only rivaled by the Kofi hijinks as far as ways to extend the storyline.
If people want to argue that they've done some damage, with how much of a mess things kind of became heading into Fastlane, and you know Ronda Rousey's social media persona and the F word being thrown around, both of them actually. I will totally accept that. So this is the time to kind of course correct all that and just do a focused build towards the triple threat match. You can still have you know Ronda on Raw being a loose cannon. Yeah, I think that's all well and good. I think that provides a good dynamic heading into the match. But look, I hope they don't feel the need to try and complicate this anymore.
Yeah, I would hope that they don't. And I was trying to think, because I think those were the because I guess I guess the other promo, which to me would be fourth in line there on the SmackDown, would be the Shane McMahon one, and I guess that's something that more from Fastlane than anything. I guess I was legitimately surprised. I guess I didn't realize that all the pay-per-views are starting at 7 o'clock now. Because I don't think I tuned in after the attack by Shane McMahon on The Miz. It certainly threw a little bit of a monkey wrench into what everyone assumed would be the storyline heading into WrestleMania. And with Shane being the heel and The Miz staying babyface. But I guess if The Miz is going to have a reality show continuing on the USA Network, it makes some sense to make him a babyface.
Yeah, it absolutely makes a ton of sense. I think that Miz has probably gone as far as he can as heel, and yeah, so there is the Miz and Mrs. show that is. You know, it's been a hit, and it is absolutely, totally babyfaces Miz to the audience. So I think it definitely is a good play. It's, you know, it's a bit of a, it was probably a bit of a swerve. You know, a lot of people probably expecting Miz to be the one who turned heel, but no. I think it's better that Shane turned heel. The stuff with Mrs. Dad was well played on Sunday. What I didn't like was, you know, I know Miz isn't portrayed as the toughest guy in the world or anything, or kind of a world beater, but once again, it's still, we got 50-year-old Shane McMahon, part-time wrestler, you know, acting like Mr. Tough Guy, like, you know, he's gonna have no problem kicking Miz's ass again in an actual match at WrestleMania, showing no fear. Miz, you know, off TV tonight, selling an injury from that beating. I mean, are you kidding me? Shane shitty punches and that horrible looking go-go plata, and that's put Miz out. Yeah, I could not bring myself to like that part.
I didn't mind Shane's bravado, just because they've always presented any of the McMahons as egomaniacs. So that part doesn't bother me. But yeah, The Miz not being able to fire back is a problem to me. And like you said, like, it wasn't so much of a beating that you're like, oh, okay, I can understand why he's off TV. You know, right. There was no chair, you know, there was no weapon involved in it. He didn't, you know, his arm wasn't slammed into the steps multiple times. Like, yeah, there was not enough going on there to warrant him being out for a full SmackDown. And it is really kind of interesting that this will end up being One of the singles matches at WrestleMania, you know, I there's no way that Shane, but unless they set it up that way, there's no way that Shane ends up in a tag team match at this juncture. You know, him and The Miz would have to still be a team if he was going to be in a tag team match.
Right. No. This is going to be one of the singles matches, and pretty much the top singles matches, you know, along with the triple threat match for the women's championship, all those matches are pretty well set at this point, or not, or are being strongly, either they're official or they're being strongly teased. Miz and Shane, they made that one official. Earlier, AJ Styles and Randy Orton still hasn't actually accepted the match, so you know that's still being, you know, I mean, that's more than a tease because the challenge has been laid out. Assume the match is going to happen.
Oh yeah, it'd be pretty shocking if that match didn't happen. Someone would have to get injured for that not to happen.
I mean, Shane usually Shane's singles matches almost always have low expectations that he's able to greatly surpass.
Yeah.
You maybe make this segment a lot of times about The Miz, so no, I look forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I definitely think that for The Miz and for Shane, it will be, you know, like you said, they usually surprise, but it's kind of funny just because they usually have someone else really good in the ring with them,
right,
to maybe cover up.
I mean, it really doesn't matter for Shane, but for Miz, yeah, this is a big match for him. This is arguably the big. Well, okay, he made it in 1 year, but this is the biggest singles match he's had in WrestleMania.
Since
in
that match.
About 8 years. So, you know,
agreed.
Coming in as a babyface, they tried him as a babyface about 5 or 6 years ago. It didn't really take very well at all. But now he's had years of, you know, he's a lot better than he was then. He's a lot better than he was when he was WWE champion heading into WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta against John Cena with The Rock involved. He's had this really, really great, you know, last 2 years.
Yeah.
Center of attention. He's had, you know, better matches than a lot of people would expect. Well, actually, it'd be more than 2 years.
I was almost willing to really go to the 5 year plateau with how, and I don't know if that whole time he's been great.
Not going five. I'll go three from when from when Maurice came back.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And then he was able to parlay that into a long Intercontinental title reign, then to, you know, the brand split, you know, really help him out, being able to, you know, really spread his wings and be a star on SmackDown, having Talking Smack. You know, the Daniel Bryan feud that got to simmer for 2 years before they finally had a match. You know, and so much else. The Miztourage. You know, so yeah, you know, Miz has had a really good last, you know, 3 years. I will definitely say that for damn sure.
Yeah,
but that was all as a heel, and he's coming into WrestleMania as a babyface. Against Shane McMahon. I don't know if they're going to make this match an anything goes type of match, since Triple H and Batista are already going to get all the toys and all the bells and whistles to use to get through their match. So I don't know if Shane and Miz are going to be able to do anything crazy, but then I guess we said that a couple of years ago about Shane's match with AJ Styles, and they got to at least introduce some craziness into that match by having the referee get knocked down and some degree of silliness. But, I mean, Shane typically puts a lot of thought into his big singles matches. you know, he does get, you know, a lot of latitude that a lot of guys won't get.
Oh, right.
And Miz, as I said, Miz is gonna come into this with something to prove, because if it's a stinker, you know, Shane can just shrug his shoulders and move on. Miz would be hurt by it.
Agreed. And I'm trying to think, because it was going back to the promos, and I was thinking about something to move on to Monday Night Raw here, since we've definitely been skewing on the side of the SmackDown show here, and I'm trying to think of what it was, honestly. Because I guess the biggest promo of that, oh, that's what it was. You mentioned Batista and Triple H, and that was one that, like, I guess I want to see that match, so I'm not sure what they can do to really draw me in. You know, as much as I like Batista as a heel, that exchange just was not one of the better ones, in the way of promos this week.
No, it really wasn't. Batista just saying, "Give me what I want," over and over again. Triple H making him actually say that he wants him at WrestleMania before accepting. Yeah, it wasn't the most exciting thing in the world, but it served its purpose. They're doing the match. You know, Batista's, you know, coming back for this one final match. As I said, they're gonna get all the toys and all the latitude in the world to, you know, to have a match, as, you know, Batista hasn't had a match in nearly five years, and that was after another, like, about a 4-year layoff from that. And then, you know, Batista's 50 years old, he hasn't had a match in nearly 5 years, Triple H is almost 50, and
he just tore a peck.
Just tore a peck, so yeah, I mean, they're not going to be expected to have a good wrestling match without any weapons or any, or, you know, going through the announce tables or anything of that sort. And truth be told, even in their big feud, you know, 14, 15 years ago, the straight wrestling matches weren't even all that good between the two of them then. They had one excellent Hell in a Cell match where, you know, obviously, you know, it was a crazy brawl, and back when they still also did blood in those type of matches. So, you know, that's actually probably still, you know, the best match of Batista's career. So,
oh
yeah, no. So I mean, getting back to this match. So I mean, you know, in their prime, they could have a good brawl. I'm sure, you know, today they could have a good brawl. It's just Triple H has to get it in his head for this match, especially with a 50-year-old Batista. He does not. The match does not need to go 25 minutes.
Oh.
He can't. Yeah, the past has proven that he can't help himself a lot.
Right, yeah.
He's gotta get in his head that we gotta get, they can't go more than 15. I don't believe it.
Well, the one thing with a no holds barred match is that there can be a lot of rest spots involved.
They could do that. Yeah, I guess, yes, they could do that. Yes.
So that is a possible match time extender in that regard, but I agree with you. Like, I would be completely fine if it was 15 to 20 minutes long. Like,
no, not to 20, 15. Let's go over 10. Because, oh my God, I'm just remembering a couple of years back with Seth, a pretty close to, peak of his career, Seth Rollins. You know, that match going 10 minutes too long. And, of course, they were doing an injury angle with Seth Rollins and his knee and the match, with Triple H just basically beating and laying on Seth's knee for ungodly a long amount of time. You really can't do that with Batista, because it really won't work with him.
Agreed. Since that one was covered, I guess something that I would imagine will also, I would think, be a singles match that happened right after Batista and Triple H, Kurt Angle, announcing that his in-ring career will be coming to an end at this coming WrestleMania. Thank goodness, it's about time. It's a little bit awkward to have this after he got squashed a couple of times by Drew McIntyre. And did he get squashed by Bobby Lashley?
He got squashed by Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin. Ah, dear Lord. Yeah, I knew there was a second person that he got squashed by. Like, it's really weird. Like, if they had kept some type of Kurt Angle still has the mojo going the whole time, it wouldn't be as weird for this spot to be happening. Because, like, even bringing out Apollo Crews this week is just kind of like one of those things that is like, well, whatever, he's gonna win the match, and because that's all Apollo Crews does these days is lose.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was good for Kurt that the announcement wasn't his hometown, so it guaranteed a great response for him. I think we can head into WrestleMania and forget, a lot of the last 6 months to a year, and, really celebrate the career of Kurt Angle, especially, obviously, his early WWE career. All of us can, remember, the good stuff he did in TNA.
What?
Kurt's had a great career. I mean, there's no... I don't think the last 6 months will have diminished, Kurt, as long as they do it right for the next, 4 weeks. Really reminding people, who Kurt Angle was, how big of a deal he was, how big of a star he was, how great of a performer he was, and really just, and hopefully Kurt can, turn it on one last time to have an excellent match. And there is certainly an opponent I think a number of people have speculated on and are hoping for, and that is one Mr. John Cena.
Yeah, that would be a great choice. Like, I guess I hadn't really thought about, who that might be, but, considering the, beginning of Cena's career being against, Kurt Angle way back in the day, it would certainly seem appropriate, and it definitely doesn't hurt John Cena to take an L in that situation either. If they want to have Kurt Angle go out riding high.
I mean, either you go the nostalgic route with Kurt, facing an old rival, or you beat him a heel from the regular roster to make tap out in short order. I guess you could probably feed him Baron Corbin if that's the direction that they're going to go, especially with the story there. But it feels like I got the feeling that they'll go with the Cena option.
Yeah, that one to me, just off the top of my head, seems like the best one, because I can't really think of a top, you know, feud that he had in the WWE that isn't maybe already taken. Because it's a long time ago, but I would think that Randy Orton would have been on that list and Brock Lesnar would have been on that list, but those guys are tied up right now.
Right.
So that kind of cuts your list down already. So yeah, I do think that John Cena seems like the top guy, at least at this juncture. We shall see. Because, well, and Rey Mysterio would be another guy, but he seems embroiled with Andrade. And not that I think that that's going to be a singles match necessarily, given what happened on SmackDown tonight.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rey's another guy that to me would be on the Kurt Angle long-term opponent list. That, again, is kind of tied up at this point. So, like, three of the guys that I can think of who would do a good nostalgia run with him are tied up at this point. And Cena is not. So, there you go. What else on Raw is... well, I guess we could keep on going, and I know that it ends up... getting us towards the main event of the show and kind of having to work our way backwards in some ways. But it definitely looks like Roman Reigns is getting his match set up for him at WrestleMania with taking on Drew McIntyre. And yeah, it's just one of those things to me that I just wish that Drew McIntyre hadn't been saddled with Baron Corbin and, to a lesser extent, Bobby Lashley. And they really kind of had McIntyre going strong, and he really might have been one of those guys that, not to make light of Roman Reigns' illness, but McIntyre would have been a good feud for Reigns in his initial championship run after beating Brock Lesnar. I mean, they were definitely presenting him that way, especially as the Shield breaker. And yeah, it just obviously did not work out for him. And it's been a little bit of a rough few months for Drew. But his size alone, and honestly, they've done a good job of presenting him, in my opinion, over recently, just even in general with Lashley and Corbin around, like, just the way McIntyre delivers his lines now, like, I really think he's greatly improved from where he was at when he was in his first WWE run. And I hope it gets to shine more in general moving forward. Like, I don't know why he hasn't been more of a singles guy. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of baffling to me. Like, I know that the Roman Reigns thing was kind of built in for him, but how you can't find something after that for him is kind of weird.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that they've, you know, they muddled him in the three-man team with Lashley and Corbin, but the end game for that did work out with the Shield reunion. That, of course, they didn't even know was happening until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. But he'd been kind of stuck with them, you know, even before that. But yeah, but no. But as I said, it did work out, you know, well to have a six-man tag, you know, three heels for the Shield to beat, and then to give Drew McIntyre a, you know, a reason to essentially snap on Monday night to attack to attack Roman Reigns. It was a good looking attack. He was quick. He was sudden. The way that he attacked him, you know, the kicks look really good. The one that sent Roman Reigns into the ring post, you know, that was cool looking. Then the concern over Roman's condition, and then Ambrose demanding the match with McIntyre, and they had a really good Falls Count Anywhere match, ending with McIntyre just being absolutely vicious, showing his killer instinct. I mean, I think the pencil in the ideal legitimately freaked out Renee Young, so that was a that was a good moment. Because the beating of Dean Ambrose was so vicious, it was definitely one time where having Renee Young on commentary during one of her husband's matches, added to the match, because she seemed, she really did seem like she was legitimately concerned for him at certain points.
Well, she has almost seemed dispassionate sometimes about what's happening to her husband in the ring. So the fact that, they really seem to get a reaction out of her with that one. And, it's one of those things that it just doesn't really happen. Something like that does not happen too often.
No, they don't. And I was wondering, if it was some kind of an ad lib, because they don't like to do things like that. I mean, they don't like to do things that kids could do in school the next day and get them a bad publicity, basically.
I guess in some ways it reminds me, the last thing that I remember going, oh man, that's kind of grossing me out, is Randy Orton twisting Jeff Hardy's gauges.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that... I just about anyone can relate to in one form or another, and definitely having a pencil thrown into your eye, like, not that you've had it happen, but everyone knows right. how bad it, that something like that can hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Then Drew McIntyre, finishing, essentially, beating Dean Ambrose, and then, essentially finishing off Dean Ambrose. I at this point, I if Dean's not going to resign, I would not have him on TV anymore between now and WrestleMania.
Oh.
It adds to the idea that, Roman Reigns really, really needs to get revenge on Drew McIntyre if we don't see Dean Ambrose again.
Well, that is definitely the type of beating. We were talking about The Miz having to sell not much of a beating. Dean Ambrose having to sell this for the rest of his contract, to me, would certainly be something completely acceptable in my books. because he took a beating, and just the fact that he was hung up in the guardrail for the Claymore at the end was really just some icing on the cake. Like, you can just imagine that he wasn't able to move as much and that the move would do a little more damage. So, yeah, him being able to sell that would be great. And like you said, it would add to Roman Reigns getting revenge for Dean at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so, in the end, they did a great job in the last half an hour of Raw getting Drew McIntyre back on track, reminding people, that how big and bad and scary that he can be, and setting him up as he was still probably the best option for a one-on-one match with Roman Reigns, with, the time they had to set something up for him, your other options were Baron Corbin, oof, turning Dean Ambrose again, or turning Braun Strowman again. as far as giving him any, you know, anything resembling, you know, a heel with any a good heel to face, and you know, I'm gonna say, you know, very likely, you know, beat, and what will probably now be his first singles matchup, and you know, there's no reason for, you know, they did the tease and then the swerve on Roman Reigns having a singles match on Raw. For now, there's no reason for Roman Reigns to have any singles matches on Raw.
He can definitely, if they want to, at least for next week, sell a concussion with the beating that he took from McIntyre. Yeah. And really at that point, like you said, it's only 3 weeks. If one of those weeks he doesn't have a match, why have one in between then and now? Because you can definitely, as far as the announcers are concerned, call into question, you know, Roman Reigns being able to get through a match with such a high caliber athlete in his first match back.
It was very good. I said they did a good job, you know, keeping Drew McIntyre back up for a big singles match at WrestleMania. And, you know, really, if Roman Reigns hadn't come back, he probably wouldn't have had a big singles match at WrestleMania.
I would not think so.
And speaking of not having a big singles match at WrestleMania, poor Braun Strowman. Boy, has his career just gone to shit since Crown Jewel, basically, or really since Roman. You know, I hate to say it like this, but since Roman Reigns left, he was hastily turned back babyface, and then, you know, lost to Brock in 5 minutes. You know, got injured, feuded with Baron Corbin for months and months and months, and now he's feuding with the white guy from Saturday Night Live Weekend Update.
Yeah, he gets to feud with Colin Jost and, by a lesser extent, Michael Che. I mean, there's not much more to add to that one. It's just...
No, I mean...
It's just a rough situation. I mean, for as well as they built Braun up, there is something to be said for having vulnerabilities. Because it does present more opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're, you know, 2 years essentially of not pulling the trigger on him becoming and being Universal Champion, with the idea that he's, you know, too much of a one-dimensional monster to be champion. You know, yeah. It's like they're left with nothing else. He's a guy that could use a change of scenery and come April and end up on SmackDown. I think that's a move that needs to happen.
I would hope so. Because, yeah, like you said, he needs something, and a fresh roster, and I guess at this point, the less important title. I don't know if, I guess you call the WWE title the less important of the two. Like,
yeah.
I guess I'm always going to favor I'm not going to favor the Raw title, but the WWE will, to me, always view it that way. even with them SmackDown moving to Fox sooner rather than later. He could definitely do it, and there are I think we've mentioned this before, there are just less big guys on SmackDown than there are on Raw, so it would definitely make him stick out some too on that brand. I guess we could talk about one of the, I don't know what else to talk about, honestly, after this one. I definitely think that this is going to be one of the multi-person matches. I would think that the women's tag team titles are definitely going to be a multi-woman match. And I would say there's at least going to be four teams involved.
Yeah, I would say at least four. I, 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 it wouldn't surprise me if it becomes a inter-brand match with some of the teams from SmackDown. Yeah, especially the Iconics, you know, specifically calling out.
Banks and Bailey.
Banks and Bailey. I don't know why I just went started there, but yeah, calling them out specifically. I assume Beth Phoenix isn't back to just maybe have one or two matches on Raw and then not have a match at WrestleMania. Nia and Tamina obviously are still heavily involved. You could always bring back Trish and Lita if you need to. There's teams on SmackDown. I don't know how many teams are going to want in it, but yeah, at least four.
Yeah, I'm definitely setting the minimum at four because, yeah, I would think the Iconics and, like you said, Tamina and Nia Jax and Beth Phoenix and, you know, Natalya is definitely, she's almost on that Kofi list of, you know, she's been there a long time. Although I guess she's been the women's champion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely one of those things that, yeah, she never seems to get on TV as much as some of the other ones. Like, they seem to run out of ideas for her quicker than some other people. But, yeah, I guess it helps to have, like, 12 best friends on TV, especially when they all seem to be high-profile women, too, with Beth Phoenix and Ronda Rousey. And I'm trying to think of who else is on her besties list. But, hey... Two of them aren't too bad. But, yeah, I'll take it. Anytime I get more Beth Phoenix in the ring, I'm good to go. I don't know how much she will be in the ring, but that is one of those great things about a multi-person match is that if you're worried about her being a little too ring rusty, she's not going to have a whole lot to do in at least a minimum 8-woman match.
Right.
But damn, man, she looks like she's in great shape, so I don't think that that's really going to be a problem.
Yeah, she is absolutely jacked. I was surprised.
Well, I feel I don't know why, like the Twitter algorithm thing is kind of interesting, but I always end up seeming to see a lot of Beth Phoenix there, and I've definitely seen her doing some training pictures recently. I was just like, damn, woman. And that was before Fastlane happened and before Monday night. And, yeah, just looking really good. So the Betty Phoenix was always definitely one of those, I would say, in general, stunt granny crushes for women wrestlers. And definitely more specifically, I think Jeremy was on that train first. But yeah, is there anything else to cover before hitting the old dusty trail here?
I think we're good.
Okie dokie. Well, for at Chris Calamina, for me at DeFrango11, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, because that might make us cool. And we are out.
Later.